Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Today, we are discussing one of my favorite articles, I think, on HowStuffWorks.com. And this was one that you wrote.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Back in the day. And the title is actually, Are Lefties Better at Sports? And as you allude to in your intro of said article, lefties tend to think they're superior. And in fact, you were saying that right before we started recording.
Yeah. I think I was criticizing you because you are, in fact, a lefty.
I am a lefty and you are not.
Yeah. Now my,
did you ever want to be a lefty?
No, because, I mean, it's, you know, you're always bumping into things. Mm-hmm. You got to have a special desk. It just looked kind of like a pain. My sister was a lefty and my wife is a lefty.
Really?
Yeah. But it's always kind of awkward because it's like we have to watch how we sit next to each other at things. Otherwise, you know, if we're at dinner table next to each other, we might be bumping elbows and it's annoying. And then there, you know, with left-handed people, whether there's one in the family or you marry one, there's the whole, you know, thing about them being evil. And so I'm always just hesitant when I'm just around lefties. Cause
that explains so much about our working relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So left-handedness or right-handedness is just something that we inherit. In fact, lefties and righties have been around as far back as the Paleolithic period. And in your article, you stated that the number of left-handers, it's roughly 10% of the population, and that number has remained steady for about 10,000 years, which is pretty incredible.
10%, yeah.
Yeah, so those cavemen, those unique lefty cavemen back in the day.
It probably wasn't too hard on those guys because they didn't have desks, you know. They probably weren't eating at a dinner table.
Yeah, so. And they weren't having to use those annoying left-handed scissors.
Yeah, well, what other products are there that are specific to left-handed? Because I just use regular products since I'm right-handed, but... So I don't know what kind of special equipment you guys need to function.
There are mugs with special labeling so that we can read them, which is kind of nice.
Wait, mugs?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I have a mug on my desk right now. Like, why is that a right-handed person's mug? Like, if it's left-handed, don't I just turn it around or something? What?
You know, it's just...
Where else can you put the handle? Like, is it on the inside for lefties?
I don't know. I have a special left-handed mug. Like, for instance, I'm looking at the pencil in my hand right now, just in case I need to take a note or two, and I cannot read the writing. However, if I hold it in my right hand, I can read the writing.
Oh,
and that's not a big deal. I don't really need to read the writing on pencils all that often. But it's just one of those things that we lefties have adapted to deal with.
You should, the next time, like, you're at a, you know, I don't know, you go to buy a car or whatever, somebody gives you some sort of, like, the business pin, and they give you one that is for right hand, you should get, like, really offended, like, throw it back at them. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lefty movement, and I'm not talking about politics, obviously. But so nature or nurture, what's the deal here? Well, we're not really sure of the exact combination of genetic or environmental factors that contribute to what makes us right-handed or left-handed.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is important to note that you do see this throughout the animal kingdom.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. You're talking about the sea snails in your left-handed article.
Yeah, and the crabs. Yeah, I mean, you see it. If you don't have hands, it's called what?
Laterality, yeah. I believe. Yeah, so just the preference to do different bodily operations, you know, one way or another. So in the case of the snails, for example, isn't it that their shells coil counterclockwise, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's what makes them a lefty snail. Or even in the case of fish, where, you know, a lefty fish would probably dart left as opposed to a righty fish. And if, you know, if there's a predator chasing you, then, you know, maybe that benefits you because they're not going to expect the fish to dart left. So it's a surprise move. On the other hand, you know, if all the other fish are darting right and you're just kind of out there hanging out in the ocean, then maybe it doesn't benefit you. But we're not quite there yet.
Okay. Yeah, we'll touch back on this in just a second.
Yeah. So the question of whether you're a righty or a lefty, some think is settled in the womb. Which I think is kind of interesting. And then you hear other people saying that handedness isn't settled until as late as age 5 in humans.
Huh.
I think that my son might be a lefty.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. And I'm kind of proud of the little guy. Yeah.
Are you going to take sides if one's right-handed and one's left-handed?
No, I will never be an evil parent and force him to write or, you know, do anything else that he doesn't want to with a right hand or a left hand. Okay. Or, yeah. You know, I'm not into that kind of parenting, Robert.
Okay.
So there are some costs of being lefty, which I find really interesting and which you guys have probably heard about. There's the big one about driving and accidents. Have you heard this? That lefties are more prone to getting an accident?
Yeah, it's like the fish thing, right? Where you said like the fish will dart one way when the others dart the other? Except this is behind the wheel of a moving automobile, so.
Well, right. So I've heard it explained as, you know, if you're left-handed, you know, that's your dominant hand. So if you imagine them on the car wheel, you're more prone to turn the car into oncoming traffic.
Huh.
That's one way I've heard it explained. I have not seen any studies to back that up, but.
Now, a smaller height is apparently another factor, though.
Yeah, smaller height.
Which, my wife is pretty tall for a girl. I mean, so I don't know how much I buy that one.
I mean,
some of these guys.
And these are theorized costs.
Yeah.
Of being a lefty.
Yeah. And they probably like pan out over a large population. Mm-hmm. So you can't just be like, whoa, that's total BS because my wife's tall.
Yeah. Also later onset of puberty and, they may not live as long, which is fine. I mean,
you don't care. You're...
You know? Yeah. So also higher incidence of schizophrenia, okay. Alcoholism, dyslexia, along with stuff like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And then you have some mental disabilities that may be, showing up in lefties more. Yeah. So that about takes care of it for some of the costs out there of being, you know, lefty, using your left hand with those funny green scissors.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's probably pretty traumatizing, the funny green scissors and the funky desks, you know.
Okay, I will tell you that when you're learning sports, you know, maybe you're learning how to shoot, you know, you're learning archery.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructor has never dealt with a lefty, so they have to figure out how to show you with the arms and they're right-handed. It can, you know, sort of get annoying after a while.
Hmm. I wonder, how about playing guitar? I wonder if they have to use a different hand.
I would think so.
And if they did, it would make, you know how in the
movie. Because you use your left hand to pick. I would use my left hand to,
huh.
You know, strum the guitar or whatever. Wouldn't you use your right hand?
Well, you know how like the older guitar dude always like comes on to the lady in the movie by like showing her how to play the guitar? I wonder if that's a limiting factor if he's like a righty and he's coming on to a lefty.
Oh, good point. Huh. Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure
Let us know, guitar players, how that's gone for you.
So there is one good thing about being a lefty, and it's, you know, whether you're smacking a tennis ball cross court or you're landing a left hook. Or you're fighting someone in hand-to-hand combat, as the case may be. You're going to have that advantage of surprise, right?
Yeah, this is my favorite area of the study because it, you know, I don't get to write about like gladiatorial pits much at HowStuffWorks.
Yeah, not nearly as much as you want to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would probably get bored with it if I was writing for the history beat here because Lord knows it's just, you know, gladiator after gladiator article for those guys, but. But no, it's like it comes down to like, all right, especially in like a primitive environment or an older culture where, you know, before you had guns and all this, and it was more of a situation where I need to know how to use either my hands for combat mm-hmm. or some sort of like a sword or a club or, you know,
a machete
or a trident and a net. That's if you're in the gladiator pit. But yeah, so it's hand-to-hand combat with some sort of weapons often. So, and a lot of times this is going to be your like bread and butter. Like either it's like, you know, a part of like your culture where there's a lot of fighting in it or you're regularly going to war or, you know, your social status depends on it. So you're going to train, right?
Right.
And if someone's going to lead, in fighting, you're going to lead with either your left or your right. If you're right-handed, you're going to lead with the right.
Right.
All right, if 90% of the population is right-handed, who are you going to train to fight?
Well, so this brings up an interesting question.
No, how are you going to train to fight? You're going to train to fight the right-handed people.
Yes, you yes. are. But say you're a pro athlete. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure like lefty Oscar De La Hoya is not – or somebody who's fighting lefty Oscar De La Hoya is going to, you know, go into the ring with a left-handed fighter.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to train up, but knowing that they're going to go in to fight that guy. But still, that's not like all of your training. Like how much of your training
right.
can you devote
right.
to
is
that
it one
10%
time?
Versus that 90%?
Right. I totally get that. Is it a one-time occurrence? Is it a limited mm-hmm. occurrence versus, you know, regularly going up against right-handed?
Yeah.
I get that. Yes, definitely.
But, and then the other benefit, of course, is if you're the left-handed dude, then you're always going to, you're pretty much always going to have that advantage.
Yeah.
Because
I do.
Yeah,
I totally do. Ping pong, I rock.
Because you're still going to be training to fight the 90% of the – or play against the 90% of the people who are right-handed, but you're always going to carry that left-hand advantage in except against the 10%. Well, even the 10% that are lefties, you know, most of their training is going towards righties as well. So you're going to always have a certain amount of advantage over the guy on the other end of the court or the gladiator pit, et cetera.
Indeed, indeed. So tell us what happened with these French researchers who checked out this phenomenon.
Yeah, so this was an awesome study. This took place back between 2001 and 2004. And these French researchers decided to test this theory, of lefty battle superiority.
Right. They're from the University of Montpellier?
Yes. And
Montpellier?
Montpellier, I believe. That's the way I always heard it when I was in Canada living there. But
okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Canucks. Basically they were like, let's study this. But instead of like watching like tennis players or whatever, because sports is basically just sort of a deviation from killing other people
Certainly.
With your bare hands.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about that. at all. I mean, really, I think everybody can pretty much agree that like sports are like
primitive
war light.
Yes. Yeah. Warfare so, evolved.
Yeah, if people tune into sports, but if war was on the other channel, they would totally tune into war. they decided, all right, well, where can we really put this theory to the test? And they decided to go to the places where they had really high murder rates, and people were more likely to commit these murders with, like, handheld weapons or their hands, etc.
Right, so they're visiting societies, you know, without the infiltration of guns, you know, somewhat simple societies.
Right. And in these societies, again, the left-handed person would seem to have the advantage and would seem better prepared to survive these violent encounters.
Right.
And sure enough, again, rest of the world, 10% of the population lefties. In these areas, they found as high as 27% lefties.
Okay.
So that just means there's enough violence going on that the lefty population, the percentage of the population that was lefty was higher. Because they're surviving more violent encounters than they're losing out in.
Right, right. So there's a correlation between the high murder rate mm-hmm. and the occurrence of left-handedness in those societies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And it wasn't I was looking at the data in the paper. And if you want to read the paper, you should look it up. Charlotte Forey, she has all of her publications on her CV on the web.
Oh, yeah,
you can
yeah.
find that paper itself and by her and her co-author, Michel Raymond, and it was published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society. And it had a nice title, and that was Handedness, Homicide, and Negative Frequency Dependent Selection.
Uh-huh. See, I'm just really hoping for the day when we can get that left-handed percentile down to like 5%. Just think how safe the streets will be.
I know, right? Yeah, so here's another theory for you on why lefties might kick butt in sports. And this comes from freelance writer Julia Layton. She wrote an article for HowStuffWorks. and whether left-handers are quicker thinkers than righties.
Okay. And so this is more like in the brain where it's happening. It's like fast decision-making on the court or on the battlefield, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So the theory goes something like this. According to Julia, the two hemispheres or halves of the brain, the right and the left, are pretty much identical.
Okay.
For the most part. You know, they process the same information with data traveling between them, you know, via this nice neural roadway pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Language processing, however, tends to take place in one hemisphere or the other. And it's often the left hemisphere. But for left-handed people, it can actually take place in both hemispheres. Okay, in addition to language processing, sensory data processing often goes to one hemisphere or another. So say, you know, data picked up on the right side of the body, whether it's with the right eye, the right ear, or even the right hand or the right foot, you get the idea here.
Right.
It's going to go to the left hemisphere for processing and, you know, vice versa. Data picked up on the left side goes to the right hemisphere. I don't know why they have to make this so complicated. Why couldn't the left, you know, side and the left brain line up and the right side and the right? But anyway. What's up with this crisscrossing business?
Well, it kind of makes sense. You're like, I don't know, imagine sort of leaning into something, I don't know, angles.
So how does this relate to the titles of our podcast, which is Are Lefties Better at Sports? So if you think that people who write with their left hands may be better at processing sensory info and language with both hemispheres of their brain, then maybe they're better at, you know, handling all that information in a fast fashion.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've really got to be like that, I mean, out there.
And I am like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
on the tennis court. Yeah.
Can we get a snuffing sound in there? So how do you test this? I mean, it's nice for me to spout off about how lefties are superior, but, you know, let's take it to the lab. And a bunch of guys from Australian National University did. They got together 100 people, 80 righties and 20 lefties, and they tried to test the flow of info between the two sides of the brains. The paper was published a few years back in the journal Neuropsychology, if you're interested. So here's how they tested it. They showed participants a dot on a computer screen. Sounds really fascinating so far.
Dot on a computer screen.
Yeah. The computer screen had a dividing line down the center.
Okay. So it's kind of like Pong. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you see a dot, it would appear to the left or the right of the dividing line.
Okay.
And then you, the participant, had to press the button to indicate which side the dot showed up on.
Okay.
Okay. So overall, when the dots were appearing on the left and the right-hand side, lefties were faster at this task. But change it around and you just put the dot on one side and righties were faster. So extrapolating from this, righties could be faster at processing info that targets just one side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But lefties would be faster, according to this experiment, and targeting, you know, both types of information.
Okay.
All right, so let's take it back to sports. And again, like we kind of said in the beginning, if lefties are indeed better at processing sensory info with the two hemispheres, they could have a slight advantage in sports, gaming, other activities. So I bet you kind of wish you were a lefty if it's going to make you a better gamer, huh?
It's not about being a great gamer. It's about enjoying the, you know, the video game experience.
Right, it's not about the competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Do you really believe that?
I do believe that, yeah. Some people, I mean, I think there are kind of two schools of thought. They're the people who like play games and are like really, really good at games. And, you know, and others that want to enjoy like the storytelling aspect of it and all. But I mean, there's still games that like say I'm probably one of the best in the world at, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You want to name some of those?
Yeah, actually there's a game called Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 that came out for N64. I could probably beat just about anybody.
Oh, you know, so. Listeners, if you're out there, I dare you to challenge Robert on this.
You'd have to like come to my house to play it.
Can't you play it?
It's not online or anything. Oh. No, so it's really hard for me to back that up. But yeah.
So it's just an idle claim. Gotcha.
I firmly believe that I've wasted way too much of my life playing that game. And it probably is going to pay off if somebody comes to my house for a throwdown, you know?
So let's get back to the study for a sec. So yeah, so to reiterate, if lefties are indeed better at processing sensory info with those two hemispheres, they could have the advantage in sports. And theoretically, they could use both hemispheres of the brain to manage that stimuli.
Yeah, like the thing that's coming to my mind is like I'm imagining like a dude on a football field. And it's like, instead of like one guy coming at him from one direction, it's like two guys coming at him.
Right.
Yeah, and he's like better able to process like both of these guys
plus the ball, and he manages to catch the ball. And
right, yeah, because like especially like football field especially seems like a situation where you could have all sorts of stuff going on.
The crowds roaring in your ears.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Friday Night Lights. Have you ever seen that show?
I know of it, but I've never seen it.
Well, so the last thing I want to say about lefties, outside of sports, this study that Julia was talking about, they said that a lefty could also, being a lefty could also benefit you in old age. So the idea is with a greater ability for one brain hemisphere to quickly back up the tasks of the other, that left-handed seniors could retain mental quickness longer than their right-handed counterparts.
Oh, that's cool.
But I would keep playing Sudoku or whatever it is to keep up that mental acuity.
Yeah. Just don't let them get behind the wheel, right? Because they're still going to want to run into oncoming traffic.
Right. So if you're old and a lefty, you're in trouble.
Yeah. So this is a great podcast, especially for lefties, because it gives you so much fuel to just go out there and talk about how great you are. So
I've been wanting to do this podcast forever. So we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, all the lefties out there, some of the righties, perhaps, just a few, though. If you want to write in, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com. And we also got some listener mail going on.
Oh, yeah, we do. Are you reading or am I reading?
I think I might do the honors.
Okay, you go for it.
So this listener mail was from Valerie, and Val works at a prosthetic company. She manufactures prosthetics.
Oh, prosthetic limbs. Cool.
Yeah. And she wrote in to say, thank you guys so much for doing your prosthetic podcast. I work as a prosthetist. Pronounce that carefully if you don't want to sound like a quote unquote lady of the evening. So she was saying that when we were talking about some of the Paralympians, when we were talking about that, remember, we were kind of putting it out there whether Paralympians could eventually be, you know, surpass people who, you know, have all their limbs. Or, and Valerie was breaking it down to a matter of energy return. And what she said was that an anatomical human leg can return 130% to 200% of the energy easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem here is that until we can figure out how to get that with a prosthetic limb, you're only getting 99.999% energy return. So this is actually what let, what was his name? Oscar? Qualify.
Yeah, the dude with the really awesome,
the cheetah blades.
Yeah, the cheetah blades.
On South Africa. Because he's not getting that energy return yet.
Mm.
You know, above and beyond.
But once they're able to engineer that and equal the energy efficiency of human limbs, then.
Ixnay. And Valerie also wrote that, as to the cost, yes, the new fancy ones are very dear, but for vets returning home from the wars, everything they need is 100% paid for, which is surprising and great news if that's the case.
Yeah, I think there was like a part in The Wire where they, like the last season where they dealt with that, like dudes getting, like prosthetics.
Mm-hmm. And she was also writing that, most new developments in prosthetics can be tracked to wars. So, World War II, equaled, improvements in knee and modular components.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam, equaled improvements in myoelectrics. Iraq, Afghanistan, targeted re-innervation and the DARPA hand. DARPA hand.
Yeah, that one's a really cool one. Yeah, because basically if you are in the business of sending, you know, your citizens off to become maimed in a war, you want to send like the message, A, we will do everything we can possibly do to, you know, make life easier when you come back without that hand. And also you don't want all your veterans standing around with no legs because it kind of looks bad for new recruits. I mean, seriously, you don't want people sitting around on boards with missing limbs. If
you've
got a nice government, you know, funded, you know, artificial leg, you know, you're not even going to tell the difference.
Yeah. So we also heard from Jeremy, and Jeremy used to work for a company that made dental implants, and he was talking about osseointegration. Do you remember what osseointegration
was? Yeah, that's where like titanium and bone
fusing mesh
together.
Yeah. And he was saying for some of the dental implants that he was working on, it took over 6 months to fully integrate, but newer designs got this time down to like less than 3 months to fully integrate. And what the mechanism was at work to speed up the integration was you douse the surface in an acid bath to rough it up and make it easier for the bone to integrate with the implant, which I thought was really interesting.
Huh, yeah,
so if, you know, that process isn't occurring fast enough, you can dump some acid in there and speed it up.
Huh. Yeah, I'll have to ask my dad about that. He's a dentist.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy, for writing. And lastly, we heard from Amy Clare, who wanted to let us know that our prosthetic podcast reminded her of a Flannery O'Connor story that she just finished reading for her lit class.
Oh, yeah. I always get the titles confused.
Good Country People.
Good Country. I was about to say Good Man is Hard to Find, but that's a different story.
Oh, yeah. So if you guys have anything to say, again, send it our way or connect with us on Facebook. We're Stuff in the Science Lab, or on Twitter, we're Lab Stuff.
Yeah, check us out there. We'll keep you updated on what our latest podcasts are about, what we're blogging about, odd news stories that come our way, as well as the new articles that are hitting the How Stuff Works website itself.
All right. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.